Welcome to our inaugural edition of the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro. Each week we bring you the latest on the Philadelphia Eagles, interviews inside the NovaCare Complex, and a look at the Eagles from an outside perspective. Of course, now the big news is the new head coach, Doug Peterson, the 23rd coach in the history of this franchise, named by the Eagles this week, introduced to the media. We'll catch up with Doug in just a bit. We'll also take a look back at his career, a great Eagles moment from 1999 when Doug Peterson was the quarterback for first-year head coach Andy Reid. Ron Jaworski, with our press coverage, gives us his perspective of the coach search. He was part of the committee. He talks about Peterson as well as the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, the callers are important. Without you Eagles fans, this podcast does not exist. And each week, we'll give you the chance to call in and ask questions. And hopefully, I'll give you the answers you want to hear. First things first, Doug Peterson, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We had some time to go one-on-one with him. Three questions with head coach Doug Peterson.
It's three questions with
Doug. Welcome, first of all, back to Philadelphia. What are the things you feel you need to succeed as a head coach here?
I think one thing is just to embrace this roster. Get these guys to believe in what I'm selling, what I'm bringing, you know, to the organization. And then on top of that, get the coaches united, get the entire organization, get the football side, the business side, get them enthused about what we're doing on the football field, because our success on the field obviously branches out to everybody. So I think that's really important for me now as a new first-time head coach. One, get the staff right. Get Doug Peterson guys in here. Get Philadelphia Eagle guys. And then on top of that, bring everybody together, bridge the gaps, and go from there.
You've won a Super Bowl as a player. You've been deep into the playoffs as a coach. Are there tried and true components that you feel are absolutely necessary to have a winning team?
You know, there are. There are. You've got to be, when you just talk football, you got to have great special teams. I'm a true believer of field position in the National Football League. Can win or lose you football games. Offensively, you got to stay aggressive and you got to protect the football. You got to have a great running game. It starts with the offensive line, so you got to focus in on that. And then defensively, I think looking at it, you got to create turnovers. You got to stay attacked by nature, create turnovers, create short fields for your offense, score on defense. And that is, to me, being a part of two championship teams is sort of the keys. Easier said than done, but those are some keys that we need to build a championship program.
What is the message you want to give to Eagles fans who know this team has not won a playoff game since 2008?
I just want them to know that from my standpoint, is I'm coming to work every day, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to do the best I can to get this football team ready to go. They're going to see a little bit different style of offense. They're going to see a different style of defense. And yet, I want them to see the passion in my heart for this organization. I want them to feel the passion that I have for this community, for these fans. I want them to embrace. They already embrace it, but I really want them to embrace what we're doing here, support. You know, just look forward to not only OTAs, but training camp and kind of intermixing with the people of this community.
Doug, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's go to the phone line.
One of the features we look forward to each week on Eagles Live, the podcast with Dave Spadaro, is our segment with the Eagles fans. We'll open it up to phone calls, give you an opportunity to talk with me, ask your questions, and hopefully I'll provide you some answers. Let's go now to Kevin from Easton, Pennsylvania. Kevin, thanks for calling. Welcome to our podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? Let's talk about this new coach. I think if we stick with him long term, that it can be a successful thing for the Eagles. I don't think it's going to be very much of an impact within the next couple of years, just because we don't really have a quarterback yet. I don't think Sam's going to take us anywhere. But I think he has the ability to mold the team and mold the players, and he seems to have good communication with the players and whatnot. So I think we're going in the right direction.
All right, Kevin, thanks so much. You know, it's interesting. At the press conference on Tuesday, Doug spoke very optimistically about getting the Eagles back into the game in the NFC East. So I'm trying to read into this Bradford thing like you all are. I don't know what to expect. Does he stay? Does he go? He certainly played pretty good football down the stretch. And I think Doug Peterson is here to win. I don't think he's coming in with the mindset of this is going to be a rebuilding kind of situation. I think he expects to be right back in the thick of things in the NFC East in 2016. We've got Dave in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who joins us on the podcast. Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I think this is a step in the right direction for the Eagles fans.
Tell me why.
Philadelphia. I just think Peterson has a respect level. He played for the Eagles. He was an assistant coach, and I really think that he has a focus on the diehard Eagles fans, blue-collar Philadelphia. I think he hired a great defensive coordinator. It's really gritty, tough, and really focused on getting Philadelphia in the right direction.
Yeah, Dave, that's the question I have for you. The idea that Jim Schwartz is coming here as the defensive coordinator, how much does that matter when you kind of evaluate Doug Peterson? The fact that he's got that veteran, experienced, successful defensive coordinator, honestly, it reminds me a lot of Andy Reid coming to Philadelphia with Jim Johnson.
I completely agree. I think it just shows in history about Jim Schwartz having a top-10 defense, playing with the Lions, even though their records did not reflect how good their defense actually was. And I really think we have the defensive players in line to really capitalize on that 4-3 system if he chooses to run that, or the hybrid system. Really brings us flexibility, and you have coaches that are willing to change and really focus on the strengths of the players opposed to their strength as a system that they want to implement.
Hey, Dave, thank you so much for the phone call. To me, look, Jim Schwartz said, quote, "We're not really married to a scheme." So I know that when anybody mentions the wide nine, Eagles fans break into cold sweats thinking of 2011, Juan Castillo trying to run that with Jim Washburn up front. I think we're going to see a lot more depth to the scheme run by Jim Schwartz. Thanks so much for the call. Welcome to Eagles Live, the podcast. Who's on the line?
You know already who it is, Federer. How about those bags, baby?
Stompy, welcome, welcome, welcome. What do you got for me today?
Oh, man, I'm just psyched up, man. I'm really looking forward to the season already, man. I feel like a little kid again, man. Good times are ahead, I think, and I'm just glad you guys are back as well. It's like double enjoyment today, man.
Yeah, so give me your quick read on Doug Peterson and the task ahead for him.
Man, I think it's a really tough task. I expect not crazy things like everybody expects, playoffs and stuff like this. I just want him to implement what he knows, and like Mr. Lurie says, a collaboration of everybody. But Doug Peterson, I don't really know much about. I've seen and read up on him a little bit, but I really don't. The answer is I really don't know what to expect. I just hope that he pushes this team to the right direction, and hopefully his assistants and everybody else, do it together, and we could go places, man.
Yeah, Zombie, thanks for the call. I will tell you this. The Eagles will have a fullback on the roster. They will call practice now. It's no longer training. And I think everybody acknowledges that there is a lot of work to do on this roster, and the Eagles have some needs. And nobody is saying this is going to be an instant turnaround. So all these words on these first couple of days here, they're nice and they're encouraging and they get you excited. A lot of work ahead for this football team. Let's go now to Sean in Virginia. Sean, welcome to the Eagles Live podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. What's up?
So I was just wondering, for next year, are the Eagles going to make any adjustments to the wide receiver position?
It's all up to what Doug thinks. I mean, I can't imagine them not changing the wide receivers a bit here, upgrading. And clearly, the Eagles need to be more explosive. Jordan Matthews had a very nice second season in the NFL, but Josh Huff was not as productive as I think obviously the team wanted. Riley Cooper didn't have a whole lot of production. Nelson Agholor struggled, although I think the Eagles really believe that he could blossom in the right scheme. Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. And I would think that with a bunch of other needs, wide receiver is fairly high up on the list. I'm not saying go out and get a first-round draft pick, a wide receiver, but the Eagles could certainly use some more impact at that position. I guess you agree.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. So do you think they'll go for a trade if not a draft pick?
You got something cooking in that brain?
Me? I'm a little bit. I'm not looking for like an all-star right now, but a consistent receiver, like a slot receiver to back up Jordan Matthews. Since like we don't get that productiveness out of other receivers, another one would be really helpful.
That's a good question, and I really want to see what the Eagles do with Jordan Matthews. Do they move him outside? Do they keep him in the slot? Questions, questions, questions. We'll see what Doug Peterson has in mind. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. I'll talk to Dan. Dan, welcome to the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro. How are you today?
Great, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking with the sentiments that's going around town, and especially with the Eagle fans on the hiring of Doug Peterson, it kind of made me think back to when Andy Reid got hired here in 1999. I mean, we were talking about a guy whose, you know, resume was a quarterback's coach. And yet the success he had in such a short period of time, I look at a guy like Doug Peterson, and I say, you know, long-time backup quarterback who really studies the game, and he's actually inheriting a team that's a lot better than the team that Andy Reid got from Ray Rhodes. So what are your thoughts on, you know, the success that Doug should have and how quickly before we should see this team in the playoffs again?
Dan, so much, you know, there's two components that I believe in the NFL. I believe in a quarterback, and I believe in coaches. And Andy had the good fortune of selecting Donovan McNabb, who by the end of that rookie season, I think we all kind of saw in 1999 that there was a lot of ability there. So that was one piece. And then the other piece was the coaching staff around Andy Reid was just great. I mean, there were some coaches who obviously went on to have great success as head coaches. So I think Doug's off to a very promising start hiring Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator, former head coach, will be a head coach again, I'm sure, in the NFL. And then the other question is, who else does he add to the coaching staff? Dave Phipp, love him, retaining him as special teams coordinator. What about the quarterback position? In your mind, Dan, is Sam Bradford a franchise kind of piece that you look to build around?
I don't know that I would say he's a franchise piece. I think he's going to be serviceable for a couple of years. I'd love to see them go get a quarterback this year and not wait till, say, a fourth round. You know, I got to believe that, you know, Doug's a smart man. He's been around the game a long time. He knows that position better than anybody, and I think we just have to be patient with him. So good luck to him.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the call.
Got it.
Let's go to Evan, who is in California by way of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Evan, welcome to the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro. How are you today?
Well, I'm honored to be here.
My pleasure. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Do you think, or does anyone think, that Mr. Lowry knew Kelly was out of his mind at the beginning of the season and got all of the high-priced talent, sent it down the road to prepare for another season?
Not sure I quite understand what you're saying. Elaborate, if you would.
Well, look at the you could call them trades, but he shed all his talent.
Look, so when that happens, what you do is you support the coach, and then you evaluate whether it works out, and it didn't work out. They didn't get value letting Jeremy Maclin leave via free agency and bringing in Nelson Agholor. The production was not replaced. There were moves that were made. Now, some, you know, Todd Harriman's didn't play well in Indianapolis, was released. Trent Cole wasn't productive with the Colts. Evan Mathis has battled a lot of injuries, although, you know, the Broncos play deep into the playoffs, so that's a good thing for Evan. But, you know, for the most part, what I think an owner does, a supportive owner like Jeffrey Lurie, you give your support to the head coach, and then you evaluate as you go down the line. At the time, even, let me ask you, at the time, did you think Chip Kelly was making moves that wouldn't work out?
Absolutely.
So you would have nixed the trades of LeSean McCoy. You would have maybe not traded Nick Foles. You wouldn't have let Jeremy Maclin go in free agency. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a trade. I don't know how it affected the team otherwise. How watching talent like that leave affects the offensive line or the rest of the talent. The defensive corners, you could be much more detailed about it. But I really think, I said it before the season started when these trades were made, I said to my cousin, I said, look, he's getting rid of the high price. It's heading down the road. He's getting ready for next season. And because Kelly, I don't think it was, you know, this contrived, but he had Kelly there as head of personnel. And you know, that's a good cover.
Well, hey, thank you so much for the call. Even I believe this. Look, I think Doug Peterson comes in here fresh slate, evaluates each player. I think we'll see a more productive DeMarco Murray, for example, because I think the offense will be schemed a bit more to accentuate his talents. Thanks so much for the call. Great calls from our Eagles fans, and we'll post our next live segment on Twitter, so look for that. We want your phone calls. Without you, this podcast doesn't work. Our next segment here on Eagles Live, the podcast, our press coverage. Ron Jaworski, former Eagles quarterback, current ESPN analyst, was part of the search committee as the Eagles went out to find their 23rd head coach. They decided on Doug Peterson, and Jaws was in on the process for most of the interviews. He shares that experience and also looks ahead to the 2016 team, talks about some of the needs this Eagles team has, and gives us his perspective on the NFC East in our press coverage. Ron Jaworski, thanks so much for joining us. The long and winding road to finding a head coach lands Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. I know you were part of the search committee. Your thoughts on Doug and what he brings to the Eagles?
Well, Doug Peterson is a tremendous choice to be the next Eagles head coach. I'm very excited that Doug is in that position. There were a number of terrific candidates, Dave, and you know, it was interesting going through the process and finding out who truly was the best, and Doug had so many attributes that pointed to great success for him as a head coach in the National Football League, and we're thankless here in Philadelphia, and I think in a very short period of time, the Eagles also now are beginning to put a supporting cast of outstanding coaches around him, so you know, change is inevitable sometimes. It's hard to deal with. But I think once things are settled, everyone gets excited about the future. And right now, I know the Eagles are excited about the future, as am I.
Jaws, what are some of those attributes that you like about Doug?
You know, I think team building now in the National Football League is absolutely critical, Dave. It's just not about procuring talent and acquiring players. It's about getting those players to play together. It's about leadership, you know, from the bottom up, from not only the last man on the roster, but the last person in the organization. In fact, there shouldn't even be any chain of command, although there certainly will be. But everyone has to be important in the organization. You know, not only from the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, but all the way down to the guys that, you know, clean the socks and get the footballs out in the practice field. There's got to be that feeling of unity. And I think Doug will bring that team-building ability to this Eagle organization, and it is about leadership. Doug's not a guy that's going to stand up there and talk about himself. He's going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Eagles organization. So, you know, it's about that guy that can lead. And you know, I think the perception is that, you know, Chip Kelly was a ruler, and right now we look at Doug Peterson as a leader.
Jaws, in-game, he's shared play-calling duties with Andy Reid in the 2015 season. Will it be a transition? Will there be a learning curve for Doug making those in-game decisions along with calling the plays?
Absolutely, Dave. When you become the head coach, you know, there will be some mistakes made as a first-time head coach. And I expect those mistakes, and we're just going to have to live with them till Doug grows and matures in his game management. You know, hey, you're probably alluding to Andy Reid's difficulty, you know, late in games and at halftime, and he has struggled in that area. I think we're all confident that Doug will not have those challenges, but you know, until you're in those positions, you really never know. And you know, he just has to prepare himself mentally for those. He's got to rehearse those situations, and then you got to get your team to understand, you know, how the 2-minute drill and the 4-minute drill operate. So, you know, that's coaching, and that's where, you know, I think Doug will be very focused on making sure that he gets that part right.
We've been hearing that this is described as the hybrid West Coast offense. I think everybody's mind thinks of what Andy Reid used to run, the short passes, move the chains, mix in the run game. And then we go from that to the Chip Kelly tempo, tempo, tempo. Can you kind of describe in layman's terms what we might expect to see from Doug's offense?
Balance. And what I've seen in Kansas City, where more of the fingerprints of Doug Peterson were on that offense, I believe, than Andy Reid's balance. You know, where he wanted to throw the football, you know, what he wanted to do in the running game, a multiple style offense. You know, you mentioned the West Coast offense. And Dave, to be honest with you, I sit and watch, you know, 13, 14 games on a coach's tape every week. And there is no definitive style of offense. I think every offense evolves, adapts, and changes. That's what the NFL is all about. So rather than be stuck into what to say Doug Peterson is, you know, I just want to see a team that can run the football effectively inside and outside, that can throw the ball effectively short and down the field. And I've seen those in the Kansas City Chiefs offense where Doug Peterson was involved. And I also want to see a coach that looks at his talent and says, here's what they can do. Here are your physical skills. Here are your attributes. And build the offensive game plan around the players, not necessarily taking the players and saying, you must be able to do this and play my system. So I think it'll be a much more flexible system, you know, under Doug Peterson.
Jaws of the Eagles' interest / ability to retain Sam Bradford at quarterback.
Hey, Sam showed that, number one, he's healthy. And I think that was the biggest concern everyone had. You know, could Sam finish the season after two surgically repaired knee operations? And he did return. He played very well. And once he began to understand the system that he was in with Chip Kelly, he performed admirably pretty much in the second half of the season. You know, but Sam is a free agent. So the Eagles are going to have some tough decisions to make. You know, do they want to enter that bidding war for Sam Bradford? How do they want to negotiate with Sam Bradford? You know, that's something they'll have to figure out. But I think in today's NFL, there's such a dearth at the quarterback position, Dave. You know, Sam Bradford's going to be a highly sought-after commodity.
When you look around at the offense, the personnel, what needs do you see that Doug must address immediately?
I think the interior of the offensive line, the guard positions were inconsistent last season. I think that has to be addressed. And he's got to determine what type of players he wants in his system. Is it going to be the road grader type, or is it going to be the more athletic type to get on the edge? I think he's got to figure that out, number one. And I think one of the important hires in for this coaching staff is going to be, you know, the wide receiver position, the wide receiver coach position. You know, the Eagles have invested a first, second, and third round draft choice in wide receivers. And quite honestly, they have not performed up to that billing, and they need a coach that can coach them up. So I think that's an important hire, who they get at the wide receiver position.
Josh, you mentioned surrounding Doug with the right people. We know that Jim Schwartz comes in as the defensive coordinator. It gives me the feeling of 1999, when Andy Reid really didn't have to worry about the defense. He had a veteran, Jim Johnson, running the defense. Do you see that being kind of a similar relationship here?
Very good analogy, Dave. I have incredible respect for Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. He has head coaching experience, so certainly Doug Peterson can lean on that. When you get in those difficult situations, you want to have someone that you can count on that has been in that difficult situation, and Jim Schwartz has been there, so he'll be a good confidant for Doug Peterson. He's also been a tremendous defensive coach. Just look at historically, you know, his last season in Buffalo, how great that defense played. He's had great defense in Detroit, Tennessee, wherever he's been, there have been good defenses. So I think that's a really strong, solid hiring as far as someone that can turn the defense over to and not worry about it.
The wide nine, we all think about 2011, and the Eagles didn't really run it the right way. Why does it work with Jim?
Dave, the wide nine works all around the National Football League. Every nickel sub situation, teams run the wide nine where they move those defensive ends, you know, a couple feet outside the tackles. It's part of getting an angle at the quarterback with great speed rushers. The wide nine works when you have talent, and that will be the key. And I think, you know, as you spin this forward, you know, there will be some wide nine. We probably won't say the term wide nine because we have bad memories of it. But clearly, it's a style of defense that is used around the National Football League. It's the players, not necessarily the scheme. Scheme helps, but you got to have players, Dave.
What happens when you're behind the scenes there and you're interviewing prospective head coaches? Interviews that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours long. What happens in there? What kind of conversations are had?
You can even add a couple more hours onto that. They were 9 and 10 hours long because, and here I have incredible respect for Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman and Don Smolinski and Tom Donahoe of how they went through this process. They were incredibly detail-oriented. There were 8, 9, 10 pages of questions that were asked of the candidate. So it was a really drilled-down session, and it was intense. But I like the fact that, you know, the first time after the Eagles asked me to assist with the search, you know, Jeffrey made it very clear. He didn't care if it was special teams, defense, or offense that the head coach came from, wherever their background was. He wanted the best coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll say that again. He wanted the best coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. So there was no panic. There was incredible focus on finding the right guy. I thought the Eagles were very, very good with their discipline, not to panic maybe when some other guys were hired, and just keep grinding. And I think at the end of the day, they got it right in Doug Peterson.
Still a lot of questions, Ron, about the structure in the front office. And Jeffrey Lurie, when he introduced Doug Peterson, didn't really get too specific on the next steps or how the personnel department would be arranged. What do the Eagles need to do to make that right and to really, as they say, have a cohesive, collaborative effort?
Yeah, it's about harmony. It's about people working together. It's that simple. In pro football, this is a fiercely competitive business. And you just can't throw buzzwords out there, you know, collaborative. You actually have to live those buzzwords. And you got to make sure there is harmony, that everyone does work together, and that there is a focus and a vision on what it takes to make the team better. You know, I don't know what direction the Eagles will take, but I think clearly the words and that I'm hearing down there is, you know, they want this to be a team effort. There's not going to be an emperor and a czar and a dictator that controls everything. Everyone's going to have an input. And obviously, at the end of the day, if there's a decision to be made, it'll be Jeffrey Lurie making the final decision. But I like the approach. But now we'll see if it can actually be enacted.
Jaws, last one. The NFC East, the Washington Redskins win the division in 2015. There haven't been repeat winners in this division since the Eagles won in 2001 through 2004. Your view of the NFC East as a group?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that it was the Washington Redskins, because no one saw the Redskins as a competitor for the NFC East crown. But they stayed focused. They built their football team the right way. I don't think the Washington Redskins are going away. They finally got away from star power and free agents and built their team the right way from the interior of the line, defensive and offensive line, not always going for marquee skilled players. And in the National Football League, if you don't win in the trenches, you don't win games. And you know, you look at New York, I think they're depleted on talent right now. You know, Dallas is once again going to say, when Romo comes back, we'll be back in the hunt. Probably true. But I don't think this is a great division. When you look at the overall rosters of the four teams of the division, I still think it's very wide open, and it could be a quick turnaround for the Eagles.
Jaws, you are the man. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Dave.
The press coverage segment on the podcast gives us an out-of-the-building perspective on the Philadelphia Eagles, so each week we'll find a member of the media to give us their view. Great stuff by Ron Jaworski, as always. Thanks, Jaws, for being part of our podcast. Each week on the podcast, our great moments in Eagles history goes back in time, and we highlight a great game, a great performance, or a memorable player to relive those outstanding Eagles moments. Our great moment for the Philadelphia Eagles goes back to 1999. Why not? Doug Peterson was the quarterback then, Andy Reid in his first year as head coach, and the Eagles got off to a very difficult start, an 0-4 beginning to that season, and then the Dallas Cowboys came to town Sunday, October 10th, 1999 at Veterans Stadium. And as always, the great voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, shares in the experience.
Great moments in Eagles history.
He is floating it for the end zone for Ishmael, and it is intercepted. It is intercepted in the end zone by Troy Vincent. Great play. Troy Vincent, 9 yards deep, comes up with the interception. His third of the season.
Troy Vincent is playing like an all-pro this year, without a doubt. Troy Vincent is right now the best cover guy on this team.
They go right back to Staley. Tries to get outside. He cuts back. He's at the 45. Deuce at the 40. Deuce at the 35. Deuce at the 30. Deuce Staley has taken this game on his shoulders, and he's doing everything he can down at the 31-yard line with 1:54 remaining in the fourth quarter. Back goes Peterson under a rush. He lets it go. He's going deep.
Charles Johnson has it at the 25, at the 20, at the 18. And Peterson put that one where he had to.
Now that's what you want your receivers to do.
Back goes Peterson. He's looking. He's stepping up. He lets it fly. He's got Johnson at the 10, at the 5. He is in for the touchdown!
Charles Johnson! And the Eagles take the lead with a minute and 7 left. 47 seconds to go.
Tucker playing in place of injured Michael Irvin. Third and 10. Aikman takes the deep snap. He's back again. He's being chased. He's being grabbed. He throws the football away. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Bobby Taylor and taken inside the 10.
Mike Mamula makes that play, and that should seal it for the Eagles.
This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Bobby Taylor with the pick that seemingly ends this game. 39 seconds to go, and the Eagles about to pull off one of the biggest upsets in their history. And the first win in Andy Reid's head coaching career. Oh, there are a lot of happy people here at Veterans Stadium.
The final score, Philadelphia 13 and the Dallas Cowboys 10. Andy Reid's first victory as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, Doug Peterson's first win as the starting quarterback for that team. He started 9 games that year before giving way to number one draft pick Donovan McNabb, who then took the Eagles to 5 NFC championship games and 1 Super Bowl appearance in his great Eagles career. Thank you all, Eagles fans, for joining us on Eagles Live, the podcast with Dave Spadaro, our debut edition. We're live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're working our way to iTunes, so please be patient. We'll get there, and we need your help. Your support is vital to the success of Eagles Live, the podcast. We'll be back next Thursday. I'll be down in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. We'll give you the very latest on the Philadelphia Eagles. Once again, thanks for joining me. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.